SiriusXM Sports presents At the Races with Steve Bick. Enough. Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
A very good opening day at Del Mar. Race fans, Sirius 219, XM 201, Sports Zone 964. If you're listening to Sirius XM online and at our website too, stevebick.com. It's opening day at Old Del Mar. We'll break out the Binglehofer. We will listen to the jingle and we will get in the mood and then we will tune in. Later this afternoon and into this evening, as Johnny indicated, the 5 o'clock Eastern post time, it really makes for a nice, you know, for at least for us on the East Coast, it's a great late afternoon into the evening opportunity to play. And feature today, that Oceanside with the big field of 14, you did get a scratch out of the body of the race, Saltero. Came out, which gets the 15 more honor from Mark Glatt. Mark Glatt was on the outside looking in with two horses. He gets one of them in at least before regular scratches later this morning, early afternoon. And the entire card, the entire day of racing, top to bottom, really great start to the meet. We'll check in with Super G, Gary Young, midway this morning. We'll talk to Gary at about 10:30 Eastern, 7:30 Pacific, and I have my handicapping done, at least pre-scratching. We'll take a look after the scratches, see if there's any real changes. Got a chance to look at Andy Harrington and some national turf workout information. Toby Terrell as well when it comes to the DRF clocker report. Reinforcing a few ideas and impressions and helping build tickets, particularly when it comes to maybe some outsiders that are going to fly under the radar, not just today, but at any time between now and Labor Day weekend. Same thing is true at Saratoga. And the Saratoga opening day card came together yesterday, came together very early, actually. The overnight out at about 2 o'clock. And the graded stake double, the 8th and the 9th on Friday, 10-race card. Pretty standard fare to get the meet started with the Schuylerville and the Lake George. Seems like a pretty well-matched group of fillies. Ben Colebrook with that Blame the Frog that we talked about with him. Cassie, Eye in the Sky. You've got a bunch of maiden winners. Eye in the Sky and Lady Apple, too, for Steve Asmussen. The Curlin filly that was second in the Astoria. In fact, Eye in the Sky, third in the Astoria, and they'll face off in here. Tommy Amos shows up with Serengeti Empress, an alternation filly that won impressively at First Asking at Indiana Grand, going 5.5. And this is 6 furlongs to get going. And the only horse that has negotiated 6 furlongs, and I always find that to be early season, I always find that to be kind of helpful in these stakes. Tapping Pearl, the Cassie Tappet, the homebred for Barbara Banky out of Cat Dancer. 1 going 6 at Churchill 3 weeks ago. And we talked about Tapping Pearl as well with Cassie. So the Schuylerville gets the 2-year-old stakes season kicked off. Come right back with the Sanford. They'll draw today for the Saturday card. the Lake George, a fever, unfortunately, for rushing fall. So she could not make the Lake George, but she'll certainly show up later in the meet. Chad Brown, a little bit of a setback there to get the meet started with rushing fall, but he's got punked in here instead for E5, Bob Edwards. Altea as well for Sol Kumin and Swift Thoroughbreds. But Daddy is a legend. George Weaver coming out of the Wonder again. How about Andina Del Sur, who we just talked about yesterday? Her two-year-old sister showing up in opening day at Del Mar. Andina Del Sur for Don Alberto and Tom Albertrani. Nice group of eight to get the three-year-old fillies going. The very strong program, of course, at Saratoga for the lake pairings. The George and Placid. We've got everything you'd expect. You got a state bred maiden special. You've got open company. Two-year-old fillies. Nicely bred, got some allowance action, some state bred allowance action, including my favorite thing, state bred turf allowances. The seventh race to start the late pick four. Big full fields, always competitive, frequently with big prices. So those of you that were waiting, the PPs were out early yesterday, and you'll be ready for Friday. We'll talk a little bit about Saratoga today, but a lot more about it tomorrow. Today, let me give you the lineup because Jacinto Vasquez is going to join us right presently. Casey reaching him now, and Jacinto was on horses this morning. Pretty amazing, actually. 75, and Jacinto works on a daily basis. Talk to both Jacinto Vasquez and George Velasquez this morning. Georgie will join us tomorrow. He's tied up, unfortunately, today. But that's all right. Anytime's a good time to talk to George Velasquez. But Jacinto is going to start off the appreciation of Manny Ikeza and the pieces that people are writing and the responses to the obit. So some first-person accounts this morning. And Jacinto Vasquez and also George relating that they both had just, you know, they both had been, you know, in contact with, they hadn't seen Manny Ikeza in a while, but they talked to him on a regular basis. And Georgie had talked to him earlier in the week. And apparently Manny was organizing a trip down to Panama, and all of the famed Panamanian Hall of Famers were going to participate, and it still probably will, it's still going to happen. But right now, the first order of business is just getting over the shock of Manny's passing, because everybody who's spoken to him and had seen him at Canterbury, nobody expected this. And so the sadness associated and the aftermath here, the arrangements, we'll get to those in a little bit, but a little problematic because they're going to be Friday on Long Island. And, you know, with everybody shifting up here, it's going to make it tough for some people that, you know, would certainly want to be at the services for Manny Ikeza and the Saratoga opening day. I'm sure some accommodations will be made, and there'll be something upstate as well to pay tribute. And Ikeza was particularly tremendous up here at Saratoga, and a lot of his, I think, what, four riding titles. And Jacinto Vasquez joins us. And Jacinto came not long after Ikaiza more or less set the table for Latin riders and the parade of Panamanian legends, starting with Manny, Lafitte Pincay and Jacinto Vasquez, Braulio Baeza, George Velasquez, Alex Solis, Rene Douglas, and more. Jacinto, as I said to you this morning, this kind of took everybody by surprise. Very sad.
Hello.
There we go. Jacinto.
Yes, sir.
Jacinto, we talked earlier this morning and mentioning that this kind of came as a shock to everybody that, you know, has been in contact with Manny Ikaiza.
Yeah, they were always surprised because I talked to him before he went to Canterbury. Then about a week ago, he called me, sent me an email. Then I talked to him, and he told me, "Say you got to go to Panama because I'm setting that thing." He said, "Tell me when you can go like this. We set him up like this, you can go." I said, "Well, okay. You have to let me know when you think we can go like this. I'll tell you what day I can go." So he said, "We set him up in your time." He said, "I don't want to distract anybody else." He said, "So that's the last time I talked to him." And I'm very surprised because Velasquez called me up day before yesterday, and he told me he got sick in the morning and died in the afternoon. So yeah. I was very surprised. Was a very, very smart person and very nice person to meet. And I don't think is anybody on the racetrack that could say anything better about him. He was a gentleman all his life.
Jacinto, on that topic, it's kind of interesting that so many people that were close to him and racetrackers, but it was a different, and how they're all uniformly saying the same thing, but at the same time, on the racetrack, on board a horse, he was a pirate.
He was your enemy because he was a competitor.
Yep.
And he never did anything to drop anybody, trying to drop anybody. He took chances himself, and he paid his price too. But he never, through the stretch, when you turn him for home, like I said, head and head with him, he'd do anything to beat you. He put the elbow out or the whip outside and did anything he could to beat you. But that was part of the game.
Yeah. And you said he did pay a bit of a price because he was constantly going in front of the stewards.
Yeah, suspended for a lot of things. And then sometimes was action that could happen, but a rider like him is smart. He was in good. He made some mistakes, trying to go, take a chance to go between two horses over there. If he can go around one more, he's going to win anyhow, but he used to cut the corners. And sometimes he didn't spot that was tight, and he had enough horse to get through. So that's the problem he had.
You're younger.
You know, like a Cordero, Cordero is
right.
A good rider and a good person. But I never even in a racetrack, he trying to ride 2-3 horses in the same race. So we all got a bad habit,
Jacinto, talk about growing up, and you were a little younger than Manny, but talk about the breakthrough and the parade of great Latin riders that came to the U.S., Milo Valenzuela, even before Manny, but for the Panamanian colonies, he was the first.
Nobody had some Panamanian guys before the him. They came over here, they did very well. A guy named Henry Mora, another guy named Fernando. there was a lot of them. It came from Cuba. There was a bunch of Cuba. The Fernando Brothers, there was a good rider of Elio Gomez. And that was only before the Icaza. Then Icaza came in and followed those guys' footsteps, as you know. And then the Panama got the, in 1959, Baeza came over here in 1960. Then I came over here, Agostini came over here. Then I followed George Tejeda, Pink Eye, Solis. And, you know, one time we used to win probably 90% of the races in this country, around the 70s, early 80s, the Panamanian guys. Now we got the Puerto Ricans taking over.
They're strong. What was the heritage? Where did you all learn? Was there just the track, or was there school?
Well, we, Baeza, myself, and Agustinis, and Icaza, we learned the hard way. After that, they put a school over there in Panama. They had a school of jockey. And Pinkade, Tejeda, George Velasquez, and a few other riders, they came to the school. And they used to ride very good. They were good riders.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
So, but we don't really have, we pay a different price. We used to, I used to knock 10 stalls, 12 stalls every day to be able to have a job in when I first started to learn over there. So they don't have those things anymore. Now they got a school, they tell you everything. But you don't get dirty. You go with a Sunday shirt on them. So, a lot different.
They're spoiled.
It's like the kids today in this country. You know, the kids in this country, they don't put no time in with horses. You know, years back, they sent them to the farm, and they had to rake their chair on, do wash, bandage, do everything until, for 6 months before they even get on the horse, letting touch a horse. It's not different. Today is different. Today they come over here, they walk a hot one day, the next day they ride a horse around the chair road, and 2 weeks later they ride. They become a jockey. Hester sideways.
That's right. Jacinto, we think of you as really breaking through in, you know, into the 70s, and Manny's career, injuries started to really take a toll, and I suppose one of the most difficult parts of for him was kind of being forced off at the height of his career.
The thing was his career where the thing is got the thing got real tough around New York. You know, they had a picnic for years back, and after the 60s. You know, there was about 20, 30 riders in New York, tough riders, young riders, 18, 25 years old. You know, the youth kill and execute the old ones all the time. You know, when you get to some point, you ride a horse and get beat, oh, he's too old. And if it's a young guy, oh, that dumb son of a bitch, he rode a bad race. But if it's an old rider, they say, oh, he's getting too old. And that's excuse. We all got the time. That's the difference. Horses make the riders, make the trainers, make everybody.
Did he, you know, he tried to come back 10 years later, and he also took a turn getting on a sulky and trying some harness driving.
Yeah, he drove some harness races. He rode a race over in Saratoga with the jockeys, you know, one time before he quit. And he rode the favor and got beat. Robert Smith beat him. And they asked him, he said, what happened to your horse? You're supposed to win. That's supposed to be the best. He said, the wheels need some oil, need grease. That's what he told the guy. He said, the wheels need some grease. one of the harness races. He was funny sometimes.
He and all of you that carved out Hall of Fame careers, you're heroes back home in Panama, and you made it sound like he was trying to get you back to take advantage of the way you're revered by Panamanians and back home. How much, you know, legacy?
I'm not too popular in Panama.
Why not?
I never was too popular. When I was, I don't know, when I was riding there, I got to suspend a lot. And I did a lot of things and fights and I did everything I could do. And people had especially the newspapers. The newspapers used to hit my guts. They used to write stupid things about me. The newspaper they had in Panama, like the newspaper got Trump, not like the media got Trump over here in this country.
Well, this feels, you know, especially, you know, knowing that everybody, that the riders, the community, the Hall of Fame riders, you all come here to Saratoga for the Hall of Fame induction, and they'll be, I mean, he would come up. He really hadn't come to the track too often, but he would come every year for Hall of Fame.
Yeah, he was very patriotic with the Hall of Fame thing. He'd go over there every year. He used to come.
Yep.
He used to come for everybody that was in doctor, no making different who he was. If he know him or don't know him, he used to show up.
Before we go, Jacinto Vasquez is with us. George Velasquez will join us tomorrow. And Jacinto, any moment out on the racetrack riding against him that you recall, that shoulder to shoulder?
Oh, we had some things, you know. But he took it like a man, like he did it when you. You know, when you got a lot of horse, you can do those things, right? But you don't have no horse that can play with you. So, and that's the way. We had some moments. We never trying to kill each other, but I had him one time on the inside trying to get through. He never got through. So he cried after the race, but I beat him anyhow. He couldn't follow, and they don't take me down. So he couldn't follow me one other time, and they took me down. So, if we was competitive, you know, all our guys, Velasquez, Cotero, all our riders, we used to go out and have drink after the races. But when the bell ring, we was different person.
Absolutely.
Everybody was look out for their own hotel. Like, you know, TJ Kelly got mad at me one time because I couldn't follow against him. He said, "Why you ride all my horses almost, and then now you claim foul against me?" I said, "Mr. Kelly, I was riding for you. I'm protecting the interests of the people that I'm representing. They want to ride it." I said, "If I ride for you and that happened, I'm going to do the same for you." So then he said, "Okay, Papa, that's okay." He got me. He said, "Why you claim foul against me?"
Well, that was one thing yesterday when we were looking at the list of his fines and suspensions. And one thing that they don't seem to do as much anymore is penalize guys for frivolous calls and for claims of foul that are ruled frivolous. There used to be much more pronounced penalties and fines for that.
There used to be rules, and the stewards used to oppose those rules. They don't make no rules. You know, they used to oppose those rules for everybody. And sometimes, you know, in New York, they had like a Marshall Cassidy, who was a very tough guy, a steward. He punished one of the guys that was doing very well quicker than a guy that don't ride every day, don't ride as many horses. you know, because he said you don't supposed to make this mistake. You ride every day. You ride 7-8 horses a day. How can you make this mistake? And they used to punish guys like that. Today is the opposite way. The guys is on top. People give him all the breaks. They make excuse. You know, years back, you used to buy a horse coming out of the gate on the backside, any place. And you win the race or finish second or third, they take you down because you bother that horse over there. You're not supposed to bother anybody in the race if you can help it.
Right.
You know, just, and they used to give you the benefit of that if you made a mistake. Like you say, you hit a horse with right hand or left hand and ducked in or ducked out. They give you the benefit of the doubt that you hit him. But if you hit him once and go out and straight him out, then you hit him again with the same hand and go out, you cook. You was cook.
Hmm.
They tell you, say, you're dumb enough to do it again, you're going to taste. That's all. And today is nothing. Today they don't do nothing to nobody.
That's
there's
it.
Nothing in the book. They say, well, if the... That horse don't going to win anyhow. That's why we don't take the horse down. They don't supposed to have those rules like that. The
agreed.
Rules say you bother somebody and pity somebody, you're supposed to be punished. You don't have to have the consequences and say the horse don't going to win anyhow. Like then if it's pregnant, you know. Cordero mugged me in that freaking race. And the steward said, well... she don't want to win anyhow. We never took anybody in a big race like that. That's a bunch of baloney.
Yep.
The rules in the book say somebody is supposed to pay the consequences.
Yep.
Yeah.
You know what? Maybe Saratoga, we'll sit the two of you together and we'll have that conversation.
Okay. Well, I don't know if you're going to go with that or not. That's some questions. I don't know.
You got to come up. You got to come up for Hall of Fame.
Well, they invite you to go over there, but you have to be in your own ticket.
Oof, well, that's not good.
They don't
that's
help
not
you do nothing. They didn't all even right. allow you lunch. Allow you lunch, Ricky.
I'll talk. Let me see what I can do.
We went over there last time. Money Casa, we ordered a bottle of wine. That bottle of wine cost me and store $8. Because I know the name of the wine. Cost $8 in the store, in the liquor store. They charge us $45 for that thing in New York, in the dining room. And we're supposed to be guests. That's what I mean.
You're right. That you say this, I've heard this. Yeah, I've heard this story. I complain. Yep.
Yeah, well.
I'll see what I can. Good. I'll see what I can do. Jacinto.
All right.
Thank
nice
you, buddy.
Talking to you.
I appreciate it. Remembering and appreciating Manny Ikeza and Jacinto Vasquez, Georgie Tomorrow Velasquez, and Harvey Pack is going to join us next. And Harvey, you're going to see a lot of Harvey this summer because he taped a series of Saratoga podcasts, basically video casts, at DRF yesterday. Harvey Pack next. We'll talk Saratoga, Manny Ikeza, and I think... some postscript to Triple Crown, because we talked to Harvey before Triple Crown. Stay with us.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
Fun in the Sun is ExpressBet's summer treasure. If you can't make it to the spa or where the surf meets the turf, do the next best thing and play Saratoga and Del Mar with ExpressBet. And while you're at it, don't miss ExpressBet's $100,000 Fun in the Sun handicapping competition. Play Saturdays by making a live $10 win wager on one horse in each of 10 competition races. Each week, top players collect $4,000 for first, $2,000 for second, and $1,000 for third. Plus, based on cumulative earnings throughout the season, the top four finishers will win Pegasus World Cup Handicapping Championship seats, a $12,000 value each. Pre-registration is now open for account holders only. Don't miss this fantastic opportunity to shoot for some cool, fun-in-the-sun Saturday summer cash with ExpressBet Saratoga and Del Mar. Visit ExpressBet.com now to open an account and for complete fun-in-the-sun details.
Account wagering is not permitted in all states. National Problem Gambling Support Line, 1-800-522-4700.
Pennsylvania's breeding program is truly the most lucrative in North America. Now, we'll pay a 50% breeder award for PA-sired, PA-bred maidens who run first, second, or third, with 25% for non-PA-sired, PA-breds. Last year, the number of mares bred rose by 15% in Pennsylvania. And unlike some other states, our Racehorse Development Fund can only be used to support Pennsylvania breeding and racing. This is Brian Sanfratello. Please visit us at PABred.com.
Hi, this is retired race caller Tom Durkin. So, after this year's Derby, I stopped by Top Round Roast Beef on Shelbyville Road in St. Matthews. I got two sandwiches, one for back at the hotel and another for the trip back home to New York. The first one was so good, I had the other one right there. Certified Angus beef, roasted 5 hours, each one made to order. You can taste the difference. Top Round Roast Beef, Shelbyville Road, St. Matthews. Tell them Tom Durkin sent you. Oh, by the way, try the frozen custard too.
Hi, John Pirana here, inviting you to join me in the Dublin Racing Club, along with friends like Steve Bick and Tom Durkin. If you have an interest in Ireland and horse racing, it's the best way to be involved with both. So log on now to DublinRacingClub.com and come join us at one of Ireland's 26 racetracks.
The Dublin Racing Club is designed to introduce racing fans to the ownership experience by participating in the sport in Ireland. For more information on the Dublin Racing Club, log on to DublinRacingClub.com.
Now, back to At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
I'm a trouble man, changed by the things I do. True, but it's funny how they all remember you. You know, it could be different. Time to do something new. We're giving everything. Oh, to be a happy man.
We're back. Bottom of hour one on this Wednesday. It's opening day at Del Mar, but everybody looking forward on this side of the country to opening day at Saratoga. The first card drawn for Friday. They'll draw the first big Saturday card today. And kind of a mixed scenario, bringing Harvey Pack in. Not unusual for me to reach out for Harvey at these kinds of junctures. Before Saratoga, we talked before Triple Crown as well, but one of the big reasons I reached for Harvey too this morning was to appreciate Manny Akiza, and certainly anybody that watched Harvey's shows, so many highlights, so many incredible moments. Jay Hovde writing about Dark Mirage just the other day, the Triple Tierra, and Harvey Pack joins us on this Wednesday. Harvey, thank you.
My pleasure, Steve.
I got a big kick when your wife said, "Harvey, it's Steve Bick," and I heard you say in the background, "Again?"
Well, it is a natural thing. I did not know about Manny at that time, or I probably would have figured it out.
Well, let's start there, and then we'll morph into Saratoga conversation. And I told everybody they're going to be treated to a steady diet of Harvey throughout the summer, courtesy of DRF. We'll get to that with Pete Fornatel later this morning, too. But Harvey, Manny Akiza, and it's a little sad that the modern horse player, I mean, even somebody my age, 58, didn't really see him in his prime. We've only seen him in video and film. You got to see him in his absolute prime.
As a fan, I did not work in racing at the time. I was in my first career where I graduated to horse racing, which was my first love anyway. But when he came on the track, it was something to watch. He was a reckless rider. He was a rider who wanted to win, and he didn't care what happened. And the fans loved him. They ate him up. He was a fan favorite of most of his career. The other riders, not so great, but they all respected him, and he did start what we can all see now, a parade of riders from Latin America.
Very much, and that was more or less the lead story on the obits and how he heralded in a new era, and it continues today, although there is an ebb and flow, whether it's riders from Mexico, Puerto Rico, anywhere else in throughout South America. But the Panamanians, that list starting with him, and then Lafitte Pincai, Jacinto Vasquez, who just joined us, Baeza, Georgie Velasquez, Alex Solis, Rene Douglas,
it's
and
pretty
more.
Impressive, isn't it?
Yeah, really
it really is.
Is.
I mean, he was just an unbelievable rider, and the fans were right. The other jockeys may have been right too. Manny wanted a win. If there was no hole, he made the hole, and making the hole is not popular with the stewards. But he fought for everything. He was really a terrific rider, and as I recall, he ended up working in the Panamanian embassy.
Apparently, and you know, he also in other areas remained, you know, very much in the public eye, but not on the racetrack side. And you know, he married Miss USA and Miss Universe, Linda Bennett.
I recall that.
Yeah.
That was pretty well known at the time.
Yeah.
You know, to understand it perfectly, what racing was, it's always been an evolution of who can keep the weight, who can hold the weight. Early on, many Italian-Americans became great riders, like Eddie Arcaro. And then from the farms they came, boys from the Midwest. And then came this invasion, which still dominates to this day. And you've got to include Puerto Rico, any Latin American, anybody from the Spanish-speaking part of the of our hemisphere could be included in that group. To give you an idea, at the time that Manny appeared, Joey Lewis, the comedian whose autobiography was in The Joker Is Wild, starring Sinatra, was appearing at the Copacabana, the hottest nightclub in New York. And he had special material, and he talked about racing, lamenting on his losses. He really made the sport popular. And at that time, we didn't even need him. The sport was popular. And one of his songs, if you know the Atchison, Topeka, and the Santa Fe, the Johnny mm-hmm. Mercer tune, which is still heard around, well, Joey Lewis had a thing where he blamed jockeys for his misery in his life. And he did it to that tune. And the tune was, On the Atkinson, Arcaro, and that lousy Permain. Those jockeys were cited a little different than we would today, wouldn't we?
That's great. You're going to make me search, and in this area you can find anything. One thing that stands out to me about Manny is the, you know, the horses. When you see, you know, the kinds of champions that he landed on and who he rode for, Harvey, that says a lot. I mean,
who do you think he would ride for? And yeah. the people that followed him, Lafitte was an unbelievable rider. Baeza, just watching him in the post parade, sitting aboard a horse looking like a king, straight up, one of the great riders of all time. Just, we loved him. And Manny started it, and he was the greatest. I remember there was a guy who... it said things that I couldn't understand on the radio, not my day. I was still 12 years away. But he said he was at the track today, and my horse is coming into the stretch, and there's a hole big enough for a Mack truck, and this guy, Icaza, went around it. And I said, forevermore, I will know that that commentator is a sore loser and a liar.
I had a lot of fun yesterday, Harvey, looking at, yeah, everybody knows Damascus and Dr. Fager and so forth, but some of the horses that he piloted are a little bit more obscured by history. The horses like Lamb Chop and Quadrangle and even Gamely, even though there's a grade one named after her, she doesn't... I don't think I hear her name brought up, you know, in circles. And then Jay Hovde, a wonderful piece last week about Dark Mirage, which was really timely, as it turns out.
Yes, he was a great one, too. But he wrote them all. And he, as you point out, just look at who hired him. If you think he was reckless and he was this and that, the biggest stables, the best horses, everybody wanted Manny during that brief period when he controlled the market. And he did control the market.
Well, Manny Icaza very suddenly and literally took ill and was gone within 24 hours. And many
Well, he's 80 years old. It's not exactly. Yeah. He was a child. I was kind of shocked. I had him frozen in time. And to read that he was 80, I realized then that I'm in my 90s. And people like us are leaving every day. And if you call me on a bad day anyway, because this is the day I get very nostalgic and a little upset that I'm here and not there, not where you are, not in the supermarket with my wife loading up on groceries for the beginning of the meeting and seeing all the other trainers who are doing the same thing. And it was just a wonderful time. I do miss Saratoga. I don't miss going to the track. It would be too difficult for me, but I do miss Saratoga.
Well, I wanted to turn the attention to the start of the meet, and I was delighted to hear that yesterday you carved out a series of conversations that Pete Fornazzal will bring to viewers via DRF. And so we'll get plenty of opportunity to hear you talk about whether it's some history and some
mainly
reminiscing
anecdotes.
And anecdotes. Yep.
Yeah, mainly anecdotes. And I certainly respect the 35 people in America who can find it.
We will make sure everybody finds it. And
make sure
in fact,
Fornazzal tells them how.
Well, and between the book, May the Horse Be With You, and Pete does have copies, in fact, copies that are signed by Harvey, and he'll lay out all the details. I also, Harvey, this time of year, Andy was on yesterday. We did our Saratoga preview. He was on TV with me on Sunday. And I always link to that terrific piece that you and Andy did at Belmont 5 years ago. It's a magical conversation.
I think it's only 4 years ago because I did another one with him after that. So we've done two. And the one you were talking about was done at Belmont Park. That was the first one we did. And we did one a year or so later where he came to my house like the racing form did with a camera and everything, and we recorded it.
It's wonderful. And we'll make sure that everybody gets the link with each one of these conversations. In fact, Pete just leting me know he's back home and available now, and we'll talk to him next. But Harvey, when it comes to Saratoga, you know, the history, the majesty of the racing itself, some off the cuff thoughts about why it endures the way it has and has grown.
It should grow. It's a wonderful experience. I'm happy to see it's featured in one of the New York State tourist commercials, which it should be. There's nothing like it. You know, we talk about the crowds at the racetrack. You and I know it's practically studio racing now, but not at Saratoga. At Saratoga, there's a fresh influx of fans every day, people being introduced to horse racing at its best. It's wonderful. It is the meat of all meats.
You were certainly around at a point when that people today, they wouldn't believe if they went back to the 60s, when there was a real uncertainty about the viability of Saratoga at all.
Yes, it really grew primarily from the time I arrived in the early 70s. It just got bigger and bigger. Look at how it's now 6 weeks. I remember a time when we were thinking of running a whole meeting up there in the winter, you know, just using certain horses and doing that. Fortunately, it was rejected because it was my theory then, it is now. Don't overdo it. I think 6 weeks is more than enough. In fact, the last few years when I was doing the Ciro seminars, at the end of 4 weeks, I said, are we not going home tomorrow? And it was 6 weeks is an awful lot of racing. You disrupt people in Saratoga that you're renting from. It's just a little weird. But kind of ending around Labor Day is great, I have to admit it. And since I don't go anymore, I don't care about the people we rent from.
From the collection of people that whenever we visit, everybody thinks about their introduction to you, whether it was in the building or years later at over at Ciro's and the seminars, that even though there's still vestiges of those kinds of presentations, you made it unique. And you know, certainly Andy carries on, you know, your mantle, but
Andy's a better handicapper than I ever was. That's a fact. But I still like them, and I listen to them every day. But in all honesty, I record it so that I can zip through it and just get his picks, because he talks a lot, and he's so brilliant. He and Andy Beyer could get me to bet on a bull running against horses. They're so good at it. They present beautifully. And little Andy is actually better than big Andy at it at this moment.
Well, and Andy, Andy's a bit of a lightning rod. And, you can identify with that because you were a character that was really a very different ilk when you came along.
That's true. But as I tell Andy, watch your Twitter account, because everybody out there who can handicap thinks they should have your job. And granted, probably half of them are right, but they're not going to get it.
Well, Harvey, I also, with Saratoga dead ahead and Belmont having ended Sunday, we spoke before the Triple Crown try, which, of course, was converted by Justify. His future as a racehorse seemingly in doubt, but it won't diminish what was a unique accomplishment, the string of six wins.
And
slightly, all right.
It will slightly diminish it. He was no American Pharaoh.
Watching that day, what were your impressions of the way things unfolded?
The Belmont?
Yeah.
I thought that somebody might run with him, and nobody did. And as wonderful as he is, and he was a great horse, the fact that he never even ran as a two-year-old, everything about him was great. But the fact that nobody ran with him in a mile-and-a-half race, even as I watched it, I said, what is this, a joke? But he certainly prevailed, and he did win, and he deserves all the accolades, and Baffert did a wonderful job.
Well, we'll see if there's going to be another opportunity. I'm going to ask you one other racing-related topic that has certainly been in the news. Your reaction to what's transpired on the sports betting front?
I don't even know how to discuss it. The allowing sports betting, in my opinion, see, I come from a different age. My son-in-law always says to me, why aren't you enamored with basketball? I said, you better look up when I went to college. In 1947, bound then, we had a scandal in basketball. It involved many schools around the country and two in New York. There were indictments and everything. And what caused it? Athletes were playing for nothing. They would get $35 a week to clean a phone booth on campus, and that wasn't good. People were betting millions illegally on the game. Now they're betting legally. I just pray that nothing happens. I really do. College athletes are not paid. They should be, because they're earning millions for their school, and I would just hold my breath over it. However, I have nothing against legal betting.
Yeah, and you're referring, of course, to the point-shaving scandals that's
rocked, correct.
BC and CCNY.
A lot of schools, LIU, City College, NYU hasn't had basketball since, to my knowledge, and it was terrible. It really was. Kids' lives were ruined, and I could go into a lot of that, but I'd rather not.
Well, as always, anytime we get a chance to talk with you, it's a delight, and it absolutely thrills everybody, Harvey, that grew up becoming a race fan and a handicapper and a horse player, listening to you and taking advice the way you would slip in the advice with a lot of humor, and still as vibrant today as ever. Look forward to talking again soon, and we'll look forward to seeing you at DRF.com.
You better talk fast. I'm going to be 92. Okay, Steve, have a good meeting in Saratoga, and I pity you having to talk to Pete Fornatale.
I love it. Thanks, Harv. Harvey okay. Pack, everybody, and a treasure, the absolute treasure, and he's not going anywhere. He's just as sharp and remarkable as ever. Pete Fornatale will join us next. Pete was uncertain. He was having the trains in New York. For those of you that are not that don't have to deal with it. You're lucky, but they're trying to restore ever since the flood. They've had trouble, and they're trying to. They've closed down certain lines, and it's made the trains all goofy, and they're going to be for a while. So Pete was hung up in that, but he's available now. So we're going to talk to Pete next. Then we'll check in with Sid Fornando, and then Gary Young and Seth Merrow and more. Stay with us. We're paying tribute, certainly again tomorrow, Manny Akeza, and George Velasquez will join us to talk about Manny. Steve Haskin, undoubtedly, and Tony Black as well will all pay tribute to Akeza and reflect on his life and his career that was really all too brief. And I didn't even realize until looking through the numbers and through, you know, the history and, you know, reading a bunch of pieces. Marty McGee's obit is just terrific. I sent the link to it, as well as putting up that picture by Joe DiPaolo of the Baltimore Sun, the famous picture of Akeza elbowing Johnny Rotz and Greek Money. Rotz has said that he thinks that cost Rydan and Akeza the Preakness, that if he hadn't done it, that he thinks they would have prevailed over him and Greek Money. An interesting discussion, but we'll hear plenty more this morning. But Pete is next, and he'll tell you about the few hours he spent yesterday cutting these videos with Harvey that we're going to be able to watch throughout Saratoga, throughout the season that starts Friday. Back after this.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
Fun in the Sun is ExpressBet's summer treasure. If you can't make it to the spa or where the surf meets the turf, do the next best thing and play Saratoga and Del Mar with ExpressBet. And while you're at it, don't miss ExpressBet's $100,000 Fun in the Sun handicapping competition. Play Saturdays by making a live $10 win wager on one horse in each of 10 competition races. Each week, top players collect $4,000 for first, $2,000 for second, and $1,000 for third. Plus, based on cumulative earnings throughout the season, the top four finishers will win Pegasus World Cup Handicapping Championship seats, a $12,000 value each. Pre-registration is now open for account holders only. Don't miss this fantastic opportunity to shoot for some cool, fun-in-the-sun Saturday summer cash with ExpressBet Saratoga and Del Mar. Visit ExpressBet.com now to open an account and for complete fun-in-the-sun details.
Account wagering is not permitted in all states. National Problem Gambling Support Line, 1-800-522-4700.
Pennsylvania's breeding program is truly the most lucrative in North America. Now, we'll pay a 50% breeder award for PA-sired, PA-bred maidens who run first, second, or third, with 25% for non-PA-sired PA-breds. Last year, the number of mares bred rose by 15% in Pennsylvania. And unlike some other states, our Racehorse Development Fund can only be used to support Pennsylvania breeding and racing. This is Brian Sanfratello. Please visit us at PABred.com.
Hi, this is retired race caller Tom Durkin. So, after this year's Derby, I stopped by Top Round Roast Beef on Shelbyville Road in St. Matthews. I got two sandwiches, one for back at the hotel and another for the trip back home to New York. The first one was so good, I had the other one right there. Certified Angus beef, roasted 5 hours, each one made to order. You can taste the difference. Top Round Roast Beef, Shelbyville Road, St. Matthews. Tell them Tom Durkin sent you. Oh, by the way, try the frozen custard too.
Hi, John Pirana here, inviting you to join me in the Dublin Racing Club, along with friends like Steve Bick and Tom Durkin. If you have an interest in Ireland and horse racing, it's the best way to be involved with both. So log on now to DublinRacingClub.com and come join us at one of Ireland's 26 racetracks.
The Dublin Racing Club is designed to introduce racing fans to the ownership experience by participating in the sport in Ireland. For more information on the Dublin Racing Club, log on to DublinRacingClub.com.